I gravitate to people that speak what God tells them to say. They're called prophets. In the Jewish scriptures, we call these people seers. Hearing God speaking what He says is better than the best thing you've ever seen on television. The best football, baseball, basketball game, all put together. Hearing God. But what is better than listening to someone that can hear God is for you to hear God. And that's what so excites me about Ben and Brenda Peters, because you not only hear God, but you activate people, other people, to hear from God also. Something happened to you, Ben. I'm going to take you back. You were in Bible school. You were a nice student. You love studying. You love Bible school. And you went to a prayer meeting, and it was the day of reckoning. Could you tell the truth, or could you tell what we call a white lie? What were you asked, and what did you respond?
We were asked by a leader, and this was a dorm prayer meeting, eight of us in the room, and one of the upperclassmen, I was a freshman, one of the upperclassmen asked, who has any burdens tonight so they could have something to pray for? It was an assigned prayer meeting. And immediately the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, you don't have any burdens. And I was enjoying Bible school, as you said, but...
But I have to be candid with you. I might have said, I might have come up with one and said, Africa, or just out of the blue, right. China. Why didn't you just do that?
Well, the Holy Spirit was dealing with me, and I knew better. But I had an option, as you say, and when it came my turn, I said, my burden is that I don't have any. And that was the greatest single turning point in my life that I can remember, because I expected to get a burden for lost, because my family was all saved. I came from a godly heritage, and I was enjoying Bible school and the social life and everything, but I didn't have a burden for other people that much, and so I knew I should. I knew God did, and so...
But you can't make this up.
No. The Holy Spirit had a plan for my life, and He couldn't fulfill it with the present condition of my heart. And so He began to wake me up early in the morning. Instead of just getting a burden for individual people, God gave me a passion for the church and for revival. And I began to read through the book of Acts over and over again. I read about half of it every morning, weeping over this book of miracles that I knew was still for today. I'd seen a few miracles, but not that many.
Well, why are you weeping right now? There are tears in your eyes.
This is the most precious thing that's ever happened in my life, is to have God's burden come upon me and realize that He was using me to birth a revival.
Now, when you would get up at 5, did it start out being effort? Forcing yourself to, or how did it start?
No, it was just like a call. Like I knew I was being attracted to that place of prayer, and I couldn't wait to get there. I wanted to be alone. I wanted to be able to pray out loud. And so I went to a little piano practice room where I used to practice voice lessons. And just room for me and that piano and a piano bench, and I'd get on my knees on that piano bench with my Bible in front of me, and I'd just cry over the book of Acts and just pray, God, do it again, do it again. I saw the church as being a sleeping giant with incredible potential, but not aware that we had this power available to us.
You told me you did a research study of the scriptures, and how many times was the supernatural used when people came to the Lord?
There are almost 100 cases of conversion in scripture, and over 90 of them, it's very clear that it was a result of something supernatural taking place.
But it's the opposite today.
Yes.
In fact, it's even worse. It's not 90% is cerebral. I think it's 99% is cerebral. And maybe that's why you have such a burden for people that call themselves Christians.
Yeah. That's why at present we see more revival in third world nations where they haven't had the higher education and learned to trust in their mind.
Now, is it true that you were so hungry for God and God put such a desire for you to pray that you didn't even care about food or classes or, I mean, what was that like?
I really had never practiced fasting before, and I wasn't intentionally fasting, but there were mornings when I'd been there for maybe an hour to an hour and a half, and the presence of God was still so strong in the room that I couldn't leave the presence of God for breakfast, although I could hear it happening in the room close by where I was praying. But I would just stay and miss breakfast, and then I'd make it in time for my first class. But that would probably be 2 hours in the prayer room, and that would happen morning after morning.
You're going to find out how Ben and Brenda broke into the prophetic, and they have found that the prophetic is just demands the attention of those that don't know God, and they have a special presence of God on them that it can be transferred to you, because the scriptures say we might all prophesy. Don't go away. You're about ready to receive some gifts.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Ben and Brenda Peters. And Ben and Brenda, I've been watching you as you move in the gifts of the Spirit, especially in prophecy. Brenda, how did you realize you could prophesy?
We served under a man of God that prophesied. We followed his ministry and served into it, and then it was prophesied into my life. I was positioned before other leaders, handed the mic, and I began to listen at a new level.
Wait a second. You had never done this before?
No, I served in the school.
So they wanted you to start with a bunch of leaders?
That's right.
Okay, and so they shove a microphone and they say, prophesy? Weren't you concerned that you wouldn't know anything about anyone?
I really didn't have time to think about it, and we had been being trained in the prophetic, and this leader, a pastor, spoke to me and said, God has just told me that I'm to give the mic to you, Brenda, and you're going to prophesy. I had nothing else I could do. I took the mic, and the presence of God just moved into my life quickly. It's like I began to listen and cry out to God, and he gave me a word for every pastor in that room, and there were probably about 35 leaders.
Now, these prophecies, they're not just something that's, oh, that's nice, and it's not in the realm of, say, a fortune teller that is right by their own admission only a few percentage of the time. No, this is the real thing. In your life, your daughter would be dead today if it wasn't for prophecy. Explain.
My daughter had asthma. She was around 16 years old. She had an asthmatic attack. And as I turned her, she said, Mom, take me to the hospital now. I saw the oxygen leaving her body. She began to turn blue, got her into the car. And as we were taking her to the hospital, I began to resuscitate her because I could see that we lost her. I began to call forth, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, the presence of God moved into that car, and I released the words. God brought to me the prophetic words that were spoken into her life, and I began to repeat them in prayers in between the resuscitation. God, you said she would prophesy, you said she would go to the nations, you said she would be a drama leader, and I began to repeat them in between every breath I breathed into her body. She also had a cardiac arrest, and she remembers experiencing the presence of God that he sent her back between the time we left the house and got to the hospital. But the prophetic words were being called forth, God, you said, and he sent her back.
Well, you know what? If you haven't had a prophetic word, I have one for you. The 91st Psalm says, with long life you will be satisfied. So someone could literally grab that word of God himself for an individual.
Yes.
But and that's where that faith dimension comes in. Now, the two of you, I haven't done this yet, but I'm going to do it. You've been to Mozambique with Heidi Baker's wonderful work there, and you told me lately what's going on with deaf people when Heidi prays.
Oh, yes. Right now, everyone she prays for out in the villages gets healed. Every deaf person gets healed.
Did I hear you right? Did you hear him? Every deaf person gets healed.
Right.
Now, I understand, like, and you've done this, you go out into these Muslim villages or non-Christian villages and you play the Jesus film. And what usually happens when that's played?
They play the Jesus film, and then one or two or three speakers will share the gospel really quickly, tell them about Jesus, that he's still alive and that he's still moving and that they can receive him. They ask for people to raise their hands. There's a crowd in the darkness there, maybe 500, 600, maybe 1,000 or 2,000, 3,000, depending on the size of the village. And all through the crowd, they're raising their hands. They're totally Muslim villages. Some have been Muslim since the inception of the village.
Are many Muslims coming
Hundreds
to the Lord?
Hundreds and thousands are coming to the Lord. They are being converted left and right. One village, we'll hear about what happened in the last village where miracles took place. And they say, we were wondering when you would ever get to our village. They're looking for them to come. And the Muslim leaders are being converted and becoming pastors. Many of their pastors were Muslim leaders in the mosques in the villages. And it's amazing. There's thousands of Christians in a tribe that was the largest unreached tribe in all of Africa, the Makua tribe in northern Mozambique. Hmm. Now there are hundreds of churches among them.
The work there is absolutely phenomenal, but what you're about to do is absolutely phenomenal. You had a preparation dream about the younger generation. Tell me about that.
I had a dream just a couple, 3 months ago, and we take young people with us in our motorhome that we used to travel in ourselves, and now we take them and we go to places that are needy, and they do worship. They're worshipers from a house of prayer. And they worship, and then after we minister, they come and do altar ministry with us, and we train them in groups to prophesy and to pray for the sick. And we see God touch a lot of people through them. But I had this vision, and in this vision, I was helping another young person, a young lady, to drive the motorhome. I was coaching her, and she was driving around a mountain pass, and it was a dangerous road, but she was doing very well, and I was complimenting her. And then we stepped out to take a break. And while we were outside the motorhome, the jacks came down that level it and raised the motorhome up to a higher level than we could reach to get back in. And I began to think, how are we going to get back in this motorhome? And then I thought, if I let her stand on my shoulders, she can get in. And that was a symbolic dream of us turning over. The motorhome represents ministry. The vehicles represent ministry. And it went to a new level. But it went to a new level when we released the younger generation to take over and let them go with it.
I can't wait to see it. But right now, you believe that everyone watching us can prophesy.
Absolutely.
Everyone can.
Absolutely.
Maybe, if it's okay, when we come back, we'll pray for an activation of the gift of prophecy. Amen. If that's okay with you, if you would like to be used by God, if you would like to know things that, from the mind of God, do you realize how many bad decisions that you've made that you would not have made if you could have heard God? I mean, Brenda knows so much specific things about people. You even pick people out that are ready to commit suicide. What
that's
an
right.
awesome gift. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these words.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Ben and Brenda Peters. Ben and Brenda Peters are prophets. And Brenda, just to whet their appetite, tell me a few people that you've prophesied over.
God gave us the opportunity to minister to bikers in Las Vegas. And bikers can be very threatening. While we were standing in the front of the room, the presence of God directed me to a specific biker. He would look very tough. And as I walked over to him, God gave me one word, and I released that word and began to speak into his life. Once the Lord will give me one word, God will give me one word, I'll speak that, the rest will come. This man met God because of that word. He left that meeting and went out into the parking lot and got down on his knees. Found out later he was a hitman and had an assignment on somebody's life that night, and somebody's life was spared. also in a truck stop at one time. We stopped in our diesel on our way to a meeting, and a biker began to talk to me while I was in a coffee line. And again, the presence of God moved on me, and I knew God wanted to speak to him. And I just said to him, you know, God just gave me a prayer for you. May I share it? And he said, yes. And a powerful, encouraging word came through me as a prayer into this man's life, and he could not even speak. It was so exciting to him. And I left knowing that that man's life will always be changed.
Brenda, what about people that are ready to commit suicide?
This also happened in the biker meeting, and has also happened in youth group meetings, where the presence of God will come on me and God will give me a revelation that they are preparing to take their life or that they have suicidal thoughts. And I'll just go over to them and ask if I can pray for them, and God will give me a word for them that will open them up to who they are in God's eyes, what He created them for, and take off of them that need to remove their lives.
Now, understand that just like Ben, who spent so much time in God's presence, in effect, that's what you were doing when you were in school, and that changed your whole destiny, literally.
Sure did.
Prophecy changes people's destiny, doesn't it?
It does.
You pray for people right now that there would be an impartation of the gift of prophecy. And then I believe God's going to zoom you into another area where you're going to prophesy to specific people. Would you do that now?
And I would encourage you that prophecy should come out of having spent time in the presence of God. Find a place to get alone with God. Put worship on. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak prophetic into your lives. We release an ability to listen, spend time in God's presence, position yourself, and listen for family members and others around you. Prophesy when you pray.
And I'd like to break off of people the lie that they can't hear from God. And some have been told that by Christian leaders. And we break that off in Jesus' name, because Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And we loose the voice of God into your spirit, that you would hear clearly and know there's a God that loves you and has a destiny for your life. He wants to use you. He wants you to be His mouthpiece. Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. And God has given us that privilege and that wonderful responsibility to be the one that carries a message from the throne room to the hearts of man, to the troubled, to the needy, to the desperate, that their lives may be changed forever and they might become members of the army of God instead of the wounded. Amen.
You know, I found out something that is about ready to happen in the nation of Israel. There is an assistant to Heidi Baker in Mozambique, Africa, and his name is Sapresa, who is a very, very humble man. And you told me he recently prophesied what would happen in Bethlehem.
Yes, he did. He believes that a great revival will be birthed in Bethlehem. And some of us that are working with them and different ministries coming together where nobody cares who gets the credit, we have a passion now for Israel that we've never had before. I really believe it's important that we turn our eyes and our hearts toward natural Israel as the spiritual Israel, the church. But God has a destiny and a plan for natural Israel that's awesome. And He's going to come and bring revival into Bethlehem that's going to spill over and actually make the Jerusalem Jews jealous of the presence of God that's coming to Bethlehem, and revival will happen among the Jews, and Israel will be saved.
Yeah, you know, I talk a lot about the one new man that Paul talks about in Ephesians, where he says the reason the Messiah came was to break down the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile to form a brand new species of being that would have the same presence of God that Jewish people have under the old covenant, and the same presence of God we read about that Christians are supposed to have under the new covenant, but it's exponential. It says, like in scriptures, that one will cause 1,000 to flee, but two will cause 10,000 to flee. Mm-hmm. It's an exponential thing. Yes. So that's what's coming to me as you're talking about what is going to happen in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. What I'm seeing is that when the Gentile, the Arab, provokes the Jew to jealousy in Israel, all of the things that the United States of America is trying to do to orchestrate peace, mm-hmm. there will be no peace until the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, reigns in the heart of the perfect one new man. The Jew and the Arab, middle wall of separation coming down, becoming one. Amen. Stretch your gift of prophecy. Prophesy right now.
Right now, there is a young man that has been contemplating suicide, and God has given you a vision of what He created you to walk in this hour, and He's raising you up actually to oversee and administrate along with other leaders the harvest. He's getting your attention, and right now you're experiencing the presence of God. He's just drawing you, and He's going to open doors for you to visit with other leaders that will actually journey with you. And there are moms right now who have been journeying in fear for their family and fear for their children, and God is going to begin to speak to you even in the night hours, waken you in the early morning hours, and as you pray, God is going to release all of heaven to minister to your families.
There are also builders in the audience that God's called you to build the kingdom. You're into construction of some kind, but God's asking you to build His kingdom in Jesus' name.
Well, you know, there's a whole new paradigm coming right now. In the past, the paradigm was that people should make a lot of money that are Christians and give money to people that are in full-time ministry, and they've missed what God is doing. You are in as great a ministry as a person that is a pastor of a church. Your pulpit is the world, is the business world. They're not going into churches. So it's a whole new paradigm. You are in ministry. You can prophesy because that impartation is there. And this book that you've written, Prophetic Ministry, Strategic Key to the Harvest, between the prayer and reading this book, I believe you're going to fulfill that dream that you had of these younger people moving up.
Yes, quickly.
Okay, the choice is yours. But maybe you haven't even put your little toes in. It's time to tell your Father, Father God, I am so sorry for the sins that I've committed. Adultery, pornography, lying, stealing, addictions, sexual sins. You know what they are. But God is literally weeping for you right now because He has a plan for you, and His plan is good. His plan is good. Tell your Father who loves you that you're sorry and you don't want to be separated from Him, and you believe that Jesus has washed away your sins and you have made Jesus your Lord. And you ask Him to live inside of you. Not my words, just your words. I've interviewed people that have just had two-word prayers. Jesus, help. He's just waiting for you to take a step. And when you take a step, you're going to experience real love. Not love like the world, but the love of God. It's pure. It's clean. It's what your heart pants for now.